San Diego Housing Commission Board Meeting of April 6, 2018. I'd like to call the meeting to order. If we have speaker slips, if you're wishing to address the commissioners, that we'd ask that you fill those out before you request to speak. Moving on with our agenda, we're going to get on to the first part of the agenda, which is the non-agenda public comment section, and I have a request to speak from Neela Washington. Neela? Neela? Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi, my name is Neela, and I'm here because I'm just concerned and confused because I have been on the waiting list for housing over 10 years now, and I've been updating everything, and I'm just wondering why it's taking so long, and I have questions about, is the homeless people coming first? Is that what's causing us not to be called? Because the homeless people out here, are they coming first on the housing, for the housing? And I just want to know why it's taking so long, and like I said, I've been on it over 10 years, and I'm disabled and everything, and it's hard. I've been constantly going up, and I can't afford it, and I don't want to be on the street.
Thank you for being with us today. I'd like to refer you over to Debbie Ruane that's sitting over here in the front row, and you guys can have a conversation about this on the side note. Thank you for joining us today. With that, I have no other request to speak today on the non-agenda public comments section of the agenda. Let's go on to any commissioner comments. Commissioners? Seeing none, we will move on to and welcome back to Rick Gentry. Give my special thanks to Jeff Davis and Debbie Ruane for keeping the trains running while Rick has been out. Mr. Gentry, welcome, and we now will listen to your President and Chief Executive Officer report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just a couple of personal remarks first. I appreciate all the kind expressions of support while I was out with surgery. I'm not so sure with Jeff and Debbie's running things. Things weren't smoother with me gone than here. So, but regardless, it's good to be back. I appreciate all the kind, again, comments of support. I've got two very brief programmatic issues this morning just to advise the board about. One that I'm sure you're aware of, but just for the record, is that the City Council on March the 20th did vote to approve the Transitional Storage Center item that was of such interest at the last board meeting here. It did pass the City Council on an 8-1 vote, which I think is significant in reflecting support not only from the 11th floor, meaning the mayor's office down the street, but the 10th floor, meaning the City Council as well. And my compliments to staff involved in this process, Jeff, Debbie, Lisa, the others who were involved in making sure that the Housing Commission served a very useful communications link between those two floors down the street. So I think this occurred despite all the conversation involved about as smoothly as it could have given the subject matter. My appreciation to staff on that. Of significant importance to us is that the federal omnibus spending bill was signed, the appropriations bill, on March the 23rd. And this appropriates, as you well know, some $1.3 trillion for the federal fiscal year. Although we're over halfway through that fiscal year, this finally gets the matter settled. The appropriations for our programs were better than we had expected coming into the year, which takes off some pressures. So, assuming that there are no rescissions going forward between now and September, this sets us for the rest of this fiscal year and into next. And so this again, it relieves a lot of pressures that we were beginning to worry about given how long it took to get the spending bill done this year. And this was the worst, I think, in history in terms of the feds getting the bill done in a timely fashion. And those are the only two normative items I wanted to bring forward to you this morning. But I'm going to ask now, if I could ask the chairman to please have his photo taken with some folks, some staff members, as we do some recognitions. As you all may well remember, every year the Housing Commission issues awards of excellence to certain staff members. There are three individuals and one team for whom we solicit nominations from among our staff. And then when those nominations come in, senior staff sits down and makes some selections. So we have three individuals of excellence I'd like to recognize this morning, and also one team. So, Frank, if I could ask you to kind of come front and center. And I'd like to ask the first award winner to come forward, and that is Andrea Ahi, who is with our Rental Assistance Division. Now, Andrea is regularly recognized by her peers, supervisors, and her clients for always going the extra mile and stepping up to tackle new projects. She has an easygoing, friendly personality, makes her a favorite to work with. Andrea, do the first-class work the right way. Thank you very much, and congratulations on your award. Thank you. Our second award winner, again nominated by our peers and awarded by the senior staff, is Rachel Kiefer from our project management office. And Rachel has been described as one of our hardest working people at the commission. She always asks thoughtful questions, continually looks for ways to make projects better, and always with a very happy disposition. In fact, she received three separate nominations from her peers this year, which was a record. Rachel, congratulations and thank you. Our third honoree this morning is Amanda Sousa from our Portfolio Management Department in the Real Estate Division. Amanda. Amanda's warm and positive attitude is apparent to everyone every day. She is an excellent representative of the Housing Commission and was described in her nomination with words like respect, integrity, collaborator, initiative, great communicator, and a volunteer extraordinaire. Congratulations, Amanda, and thank you. We also recognize a team award every year, and this year, we had a tie, actually, between two teams, both of whom we wanted to recognize. So I'm going to ask them to come up one at a time in alphabetical order. The first one is our asset preservation team from our real estate division. Formed by Manuel Arellano, the asset preservation team includes, in addition to Manuel, team leader Hannah Bowman, John Ayala, Steve Dean, George Hunt, and Kathy Uribe. Please come forward. The asset preservation team brings a combined total of more than 100 years of experience to their work. Now, that's more than me come to think of it. This team made a plan and then followed it, seeking out efficiencies at every opportunity. They also collaborated with other Housing Commission departments, establishing a model for future projects. In addition to this team's success, they genuinely care about the people that this agency serves and not just the hardware and the real estate. To the asset preservation team, thank you very much. And the second team is the Business Process Reengineering Project Team, led by Diana Villanueva and Ann McGuire. The team members include Andre Ahi, Celia Balestreri, Adam Caldwell, Maria Christopher, and Macarena Hidalgo. Please come forward. This volunteer team is another example of great collaboration. They met weekly to collect, propose, and ultimately implement innovative ideas that help achieve the Housing Commission's, meaning the board's, strategic plan goals. These significant changes in policies and procedures have positively impacted both their staff and the people we serve. These are the folks that took the board's strategic plan and put it into action. Thank you all very much. Got one more, Frank. In addition to one more, it's nice that I can tell my boss what to do once a year. In addition to the individuals and team members that are nominated by our employees, your CEO gets to make one selection each year as well. And this year, for the first time, rather than picking an individual, I too picked a team. And this is a team that's made our work possible. You'll understand when I tell you who they are. This is the procurement department. And in a lot of places in government, as you know, procurement is the word you do not want to hear because of all you have to go through to get things done in government. But these folks make things happen and make it happen well. They are led, please come forward when I call your names out. They are led by Vice President Deborah Fischel-Falk, Marshall Grisham, Edgar Felix, Anthony Griffin, Frank Hanna, Tung Nguyen, Mark Rivaldi, Rick Suarez, and David Tomino. Please come forward. This team's efforts this past year saved the agency time and money, measured in most cases by double-digit percentages. Their work has been recognized nationally. They help us do our job the right way and also do it effectively and efficiently. To the procurement department, thank you all very much. We recognize all of these folks and surprise some of them. I think all of them. I think one criteria of an award winner, they're not surprised, they probably don't deserve the award, is that we recognize these folks at an all-employee staff meeting on March the 2nd, and I wanted to make sure the board recognized the best of the best among us and the folks that do the work to get the things done that a lot of us sit back and talk about. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Again, welcome back. I love that recognition. When you recognize employees the way we just did, I think it moves us to continue to be the best housing commission in the country. And it's no surprise that around the country they look at us as a leader in this industry. It's because of the contributions that you all are making. So thank you very much. I'm glad that we had that recognition today. Okay, commissioners, let's move on. And we're going to go on to the approval of the minutes of the meeting of March 9th, 2018. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Stephanie, second by Tim. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Let's get into the business at hand today. I am going to move that we take items 100 and 101 on consent. Any corrections or any disagreements with that? If not, I'll entertain a motion to take those two items on consent. Motion by Kelly, second by Tim. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is approved unanimously. Items 100 and 101 are approved. Okay, let's get on to item 102. This is the preliminary bond authorization for President John Adams Manor Apartments. Debbie?
Good morning, Debbie Ruane. It's with great pride but also sadness that I want to inform the board that this will be Ted Mihara's last presentation.
Say it ain't so, Tim.
Ted has accepted a tremendous opportunity to become executive director for a local nonprofit, San Diego CHC. And before I turn the presentations over to Ted, I'd like to embarrass him just a little bit. I want to acknowledge his immense contribution to the Housing Commission. Ted started here nearly 6 years ago, and over that time, under Ann Kern's guidance and with the help of Joe Correa and Tina Kessler and the rest of the team, they have accomplished some of the most complex and largest transactions this Housing Commission has ever seen. And they've added thousands of units to the stock of affordable housing in San Diego. Ted has orchestrated the improvement of our cash flows, increased our residual receipts payments. He has created the Loan Portfolio Asset Management Department. And most recently, he's kicked off the Housing Portal, which with our IT department is going to become a one-stop shop for anyone in San Diego looking for affordable housing. They're going to be able to go to our website and find out where it is instead of going property to property. Ted not only knows finance, he knows development, the intricacies of tax credit development, negotiations, and he's raised the bar for the Housing Commission amongst our development community. And they are mourning his loss almost as much as we are, but for a different reason. He's now going to be their competitor. Although Ted will have a cooling off period and we won't be able to work with him for a year, I do expect that we'll see him again, this time as a borrower. And we're going to miss his work ethic, his commitment to affordable housing, his leadership, his dry delivery with sometimes a little bit of humor in his presentations, and his vision. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay, Mr. Miyahara, we're going to miss you greatly. Your contributions, as Debbie's indicated, have just been numerous, and but we're very happy for your success and your career advancement as well. With that, let me turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. It's been a pleasure and an honor to serve this board, and I just want to say thank you to Rick, to Jeff, to Debbie, and Ann. Thank you very much, Ann. I think Ann and I grew a special relationship together. This is a very special organization. We are progressive, aggressive for a public agency, and the folks that work here really care about making a difference in the community. So I'm going to miss this place a lot. I'm not leaving San Diego. It's just going to be working with this organization, hopefully in the near future, in a different capacity. This was an extremely hard decision. However, I think it's the best decision for me and my family. Going back to the private sector allows me to work more directly with the community and cast my net a little bit further outside of San Diego. So again, I'm just so appreciative of everything that this organization has done for me. I really am. So thank you. So without further ado, the next item before you is a preliminary bond authorization for President John Adams Manor. We have two items before you today. Both are existing affordable housing developments. And as you know, the bonds that we issue go towards the construction of new housing or the acquisition and rehabilitation of existing housing. Developers pursue private activity bonds because they offer competitive financing terms and access to tax credits. In exchange for the bonds and credits, developers commit to doing three primary things. One, offering their units at or below a certain rent. Number two, renting to households at or below a certain income. And three, they have to comply with the program, being the rent and income restrictions for a specified period of time. As of recent, there's been a lot in the news about preserving the city's affordable housing stock and tracking developments that are at risk of conversion to market rate housing. Our state housing department, HCD, for purposes of housing element law, defines at risk as eligible to convert to market rate units due to termination of a rent subsidy contract, mortgage prepayments, or other expiring use restrictions within 10 years. The units at President John Adams Manor expire in 2029 and Harborview, the next item, in 2056. These projects do not qualify as at risk. However, it's worth pointing out that the issuance of bonds will now extend the affordability for both of these developments for 55 more years. So I just want to point that out. Joe's going to give a detailed presentation on President John Adams Manor.
Thank you. Ms. Griff.
Good morning, Commissioners. This item is President John Adams Manor preliminary bond items. There are basically two recommendations. The first recommendation is that the Housing Authority would approve initial steps to issue up to $32 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing bonds. And that would include approving a bond inducement resolution. Approving a bond inducement resolution, authorizing a bond allocation application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee. Approving a bond counsel, Quentin Thimming, and a financial advisor, Ross Financial, as our financing team. The second recommendation is authorizing the president and CEO to execute various associated documents and perform acts necessary, convenient, or appropriate to implement. That would be with the general counsel's advice. We're also going to request a City Council Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing, TEFRA, as required by the Internal Revenue Service. These are preliminary steps. I want to emphasize bonds final approval will come to you at a later date. Not working at all. Okay. Our clicker has gone off, so we're just going to have to speak. John Adams Manor is a proposed acquisition with rehab of 300 existing apartment units for families. It is located at 5471 Bayview Heights Place. That's the Oak Park neighborhood. And that would be sort of west of Lemon Grove and almost adjacent to, I've got something going here, Dad. Almost adjacent to the Reverend Martin Luther King Freeway, Highway 94. It is a mix of 44 one-bedrooms, 208 two-bedrooms, 45 threes, and three managers units. It's a large project, 300 units, and there are 38 two-story residential buildings and a management office. We have development details for you in the report at page 2. Co-developers are the Nonprofit Metropolitan Area Advisory Committee on Anti-Poverty, also known as MAC, and the Nonprofit Kingdom Development. These are both experienced developers, and there is a development team summary in your report, page 3 and 4 at table 2. The developer's proposal is new issuance of up to $32 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bonds. They are proposing applications to the State California Debt Limit Allocation Committee and to the State Tax Credit Allocation Committee. Let me stress there are no housing commission cash loan funds proposed for this deal. Our contribution is the bonds. Here's a site map showing you sort of where it is. That yellow diagonal line is Reverend Martin Luther King Freeway. And that funny-looking jog in the center there is a public street, which they hope to have the city turn over to them. This shows you a site map, 38 residential housing unit buildings. This gives you a rough idea of what it looks like from an overall perspective. There's a sample building, another sample building, kids' playground, the center. That's a typical kitchen area, typical living room area. Estimated sources and uses of financing are in your report at page 4, table 3. The project is funded by a combination of various sources, including tax-exempt bonds, tax credits, seller carryback loan, seller credits, seller replacement reserves, and deferred developer fee. The total development cost is $61,720,041, and that comes out because it's a large project, $205,733 per unit. Less per unit than we're typically accustomed to seeing. Table 4 also has a performance indicator, page 4 of your report, and table 5 shows comparable development projects at page 5. And if you look at those, it's this compares favorably with other projects we've done in the past in terms of cost. Affordability, we've summarized that in Table 6 and Page 6 of the report. The proposal would rehabilitate 297 affordable housing units with rents in the 50% to 60% area median income range. As Ted said, it will remain affordable for 55 years. Plus, there are 3 managers' units, which would be unrestricted. Our estimated schedule, if you approve this item today, then we would go to the Housing Authority on April 24, and applications to the Tax Credit Allocation Committee and the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee are estimated to be in May, with allocation meetings in July. We would then return to you in July for you to review and final authorization. We'd also return to the Housing Authority in July, and we'd estimated we can close escrow and start construction in September. So there would be approximately 1 year to complete the rehabilitation work. As with our other bond issuances, this is a developer responsible for all payment of all the costs. The bonds are not going to financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission, and neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city nor full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to pay the bonds. Payment is totally from the revenues of the project. And the proposed issuance, as I said, was up to $32 million in tax bonds. We have representatives from the two developers here this morning. And let me turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Correa. Pretty straightforward. Does anybody from MAC or the developer wish to address the commission? Okay, seeing none, seems like an all upside. Preliminary bond authorization for President John Adams Manor Apartments. Any questions, commissioners? I'll entertain a motion. A motion by Ms. Davis, second by Mr. Walsh. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Preliminary bond authorization for President John Adams Manor Apartments. Thank you, Mr. Correa. Okay, let's move on to the second one that you referenced here, Mr. Miyahara, on the preliminary bond authorization for Harbor View Apartments.
So, yes, another preliminary bond authorization. I just want to highlight that this deal was actually sold in February. We previously made a loan back in the early 2000s. As part of the sale, the previous owner actually paid the Housing Commission off approximately $1.2 million. So really good story there. We're going to recycle those proceeds into activities here at the Housing Commission. The new owner is now proposing to pursue bonds and tax credits so that they can reposition the property, infuse some capital, repair it, which will benefit the tenants that reside there for years to come.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Tassin, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Spath. The item before you, as Ted mentioned, is a preliminary bond authorization. The item is a request that the Housing Authority issue a bond inducement resolution for up to $10 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds for the rehabilitation of Harbor View Apartments, authorize an application and subsequent applications if necessary to SIDLAC, and approve the financing team of Jones Hall as bond counsel and PFM as financial advisor. In addition, staff requests to hold that the City Council hold a TEFRA hearing and adopt a resolution approving the issuance of the bonds. This is the site map of the project. The property is located on North 47th Street in the Encanto Community Plan Area in Council District 4. The development consists of 10 two-story residential buildings with two and three-bedroom units, management office, community room, and laundry facility, barbecue area, and courtyard. Harbor View was originally constructed in 1985. financed in 2002 with a housing commission loan, bonds, and tax credits. The property is currently subject to a housing commission declaration and a bond regulatory agreement, in addition to a TCAC regulatory agreement. The housing commission loan, as Ted mentioned, was paid off in February of 2018, and the property requires rehabilitation to address both immediate and long-term capital needs. The developer of the project will be Harborview San Diego Partners. The development team is summarized as you see here on this slide. The total development costs are just over $12 million, which is about $200,000 per unit, and will be financed with a combination of 4% bonds, tax credits, and income from operation. The developer is requesting the issuance of bonds in the amount of up to $10 million, and there are no housing commission funds being proposed for the project. Under the proposed financing, restricted rents will range from 50 and 60% of area median income, as seen in Table 6 on the staff report. The schedule is outlined as follows. With your consideration and approvals today, we will present this item on Monday, April 9th, to the Housing Authority and City Council with estimated final bond authorization coming back in January 2019, start of rehabilitation in March, and estimated completion in 2019. That concludes the presentation. We're available for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kessler. Pretty straightforward transaction. Commissioners, any questions? Preliminary bond authorization project here for Harborview Apartments. I think you've covered it very well. I have a motion by Commissioner Hubbard, second by Commissioner Benvenuto. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Miyahara, Ms. Kessler, thank you very much for your presentation. Yes, sir, Mr. Gentry.
Just a couple of minutes, please, for the board. I think both these items reflect the ordinary good work that this agency does on housing preservation of existing assets. There's been a lot of attention lately to preservation and inspiring use, particularly given the Rancho Panisquitas issue that's been going on for some time. It was also the subject of a front-page newspaper article this week that failed to take into account the fact that most of the properties that are affordable do get preserved in this community. So I just want to point that out, that these two properties reflect not only great work by staff, but also the priority by this organization to preserve what we've got as much as we have resources to do so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Look, you know, the media doesn't always have it right, and that's the reason why you saw the letter that Mr. Gentry and I sent out to council this week, clarifying some points that weren't covered there in that article. So, okay, let's move on to item 104, and that is the proposed fiscal year 2019 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mr. Gentry, I'm Julia Sauer, Director of Compliance Special Programs, and with me is Jasmine Kotlart, Special Programs Manager. Agenda item 104 before you today is a recommendation to the San Diego City Council to approve the proposed fiscal year 2019 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. Each year, we are required to present an annual plan to the City Council for approval. The requested actions related to the plan are as follows. Recommend approval of the proposed plan program activity allocations of $62,315,463 in anticipated funds and the proposed model programs, and to authorize the Housing Commission President and Chief Executive Officer to reallocate funds among the programs included in the annual plan in response to market demands and opportunities. The annual plan is the framework for planning and budgeting of the fund revenues. The plan specifies the amount of money budgeted for housing activities and administrative expenses, in addition to describing the programs to be funded. The Affordable Housing Fund is a permanent and annually renewable local source of revenue. that helps to meet the housing needs of the city's very low and median income households. The fund leverages other revenues 2-to-1, supports the city's balanced communities policy, preserves and maintains affordable housing, and encourages private sector activities. Although we are only required to leverage $1 of city funds with $2 of non-city funds, historically, AHF funds have leveraged 10-to-1. The Affordable Housing Fund was created by San Diego Municipal Code in June 2003. This fund is comprised of two funding sources, the Inclusionary Housing Fund and the Housing Trust Fund. The Inclusionary Housing Fund revenue comes from the collection of fees from residential development and revenue from loan repayments. These funds are primarily used for construction of new affordable housing. Inclusionary funds may also be used for other programs administered by the Housing Commission with City Council approval and included in the annual plan. Historically, these funds are spent on the first-time home buyer program and rental housing production. Housing Trust Fund revenue comes from fees on commercial development and loan repayments. Funds can be distributed through loans, grants, or indirect assistance to assisted units and related facilities. These funds are used for a wide range of activities, including rental housing production, home buyer assistance, rehabilitation, and transitional housing operating support. North Park Seniors Apartments is a Housing First project for homeless seniors and an example of rental housing development benefiting from Affordable Housing Fund revenues. The expected grand opening for this project is April 27, 2018.
In fiscal year 2019, we anticipate over $62 million in the Affordable Housing Fund. The funding is composed of new funding as well as fund balance. Of the $51.3 million in projected fund balance, $12.5 million is already committed to ongoing projects in rental housing finance, with an additional $17 million in multifamily development loan commitments. This slide represents the fund allocation to each program. The majority of funds are allocated to rental housing production, along with funding for the first-time homebuyer program, transitional housing, rapid rehousing, landlord engagement, prevention and diversion, capacity building, and administration. And this slide represents the percentages allocated to each proposed program. The model program's activity list guides the uses for AHF funds. Several of the programs include revisions to be consistent with current initiatives and activities. These revisions include, but are not limited to, some updates within the program scopes, target populations, term lengths, and application methods. Some program name changes were implemented to ensure consistency between the way the program was labeled and its goals. Inactive programs were omitted, and one model program was added as a possible investment activity. In this slide and the following, you'll see a detailed list of all changes. The proposed allocations and model programs were presented at the City Heights, Claremont Mesa, and Linda Vista Community Planning Groups in February and March. The proposed annual plan will be presented to Smart Growth and Land Use in April and City Council in June. Approval of the action will result in the continued funding of activities benefiting the City of San Diego's extremely low, very low, low and median income individuals and households. Allocating funding to construct approximately 762 rental units, assist 10 home buyers, provide funding for 416 transitional housing beds, assist 180 households through our rapid rehousing program, house 850 households through the landlord engagement program, and divert 200 households out of the homeless system through the prevention and diversion program. That concludes our presentation. We, as well as program and fiscal staff, are available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice presentation. So this is the roadmap that we're proposing to that we will be implementing in 2019. Tell me how we put this roadmap together. When did we start working on it? I noticed the planning groups, which is interesting that you selected a couple of different planning groups to present to, but why not others? tell me how it works, that you develop this roadmap.
In terms of selecting the planning groups, we looked at areas that hadn't been visited in recent years so that we could get some input from them.
Do we, how else do we seek input from, I mean, do we socialize this on our website, talk about what we're thinking about for the ensuing year?
So the draft of the plan is posted on the website for public comment as well. And then Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi. So we implement the planning process concurrent with our budget cycle. So when the agency is planning for fiscal 19 budget, when we start talking about revenue expenses, that's when we start the beginning stages of discussions internally. Then, as Julia mentioned, we discuss who have we gone to in the recent years, and we try to outreach to other community planning groups that we haven't visited recently to let them know this is our plan. They submit public comment, which this year I believe we received quite a bit of public comment and feedback, and then we bring that back to management here and discuss how we want to roll that out for formal approval. We have to make sure that the activities fall within the guidelines of the ordinances.
Got it. So we were talking about in the Finance Committee meeting earlier today that there's an increasing interest in how the monies that we administer are being spent. There's not enough money for affordable housing. There's not enough money for the homeless programs. And so there's a lot of attention on how we're doing it. And how is it that we determine these ratios of the monies that we, and I'm interested in knowing when we, this is an annual process, I suspect, that we do. How strict are we to, once the council or the housing authority approves this, that we stay exactly to that plan, or we allowed certain deviations off of it?
The housing trust fund portion of it does have specific requirements in the ordinance. There are percent distribution of how the money has to be spent and allocated. The inclusionary housing ordinance requires that it first be spent on production of affordable housing. So within that framework is how we propose the activities that we will fund for that fiscal year. There have been occasions where if excess revenue is collected above what we anticipate, we can go back with your approval and then also City Council and Housing Authority approval for budget modifications to reallocate resources based on new priorities that come up and redistribute funds when those revenues are actually available.
Okay. Commissioners, questions? The proposed fiscal year 2019 Affordable Housing Fund annual plan is before us. Thank you for your staff report. No other questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the plan as presented. Commissioner Davis, Commissioner Hubbard, is on a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Appreciate your presentation. Okay, we have a workshop. Informational report on the San Diego Housing Commission's proposed fiscal year 2019 budget. Mr. Davis?
Good morning, Chair Tassin. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Davis. I'm the Chief of Staff, and with me is Tracy McDermott, our Chief Financial Officer. Today, I will be providing a brief overview of some of the major highlights of our proposed fiscal year 2019 budget, and then Tracy will walk you through the objectives and deliverables and the agency's proposed sources and uses of funds in more detail. This year, we are proposing a budget of $386 million. This budget is the second largest in the agency's history, surpassed only by the fiscal year 2018 budget that was approved last year. We want to assure you that the budget we are presenting to you today is necessarily conservative. However, it continues to advance our programs that have had a positive impact on the lives of San Diegans who have lower income or who are experiencing homelessness. As we developed this budget, we utilized the 2017 level of federal funding. With the passage of the federal omnibus spending bill last month, we do not anticipate receiving notification of our federal budget authority from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development until the end of May. Significant reductions in funding are not expected. However, the spending bill only secures federal funding through September 30th, 2018. Should funding levels significantly change, which is a possibility based on news reports coming out of Washington, we will need to reevaluate the budget as needed. This budget also reflects our increased involvement with programs to address homelessness. As this slide shows, our budget for homelessness programs has increased steadily in the last 4 years. The budget we are presenting will enable the agency to continue to serve approximately 15,400 low-income households with monthly assistance with their rent, to continue to renovate and rehabilitate and manage our growing number of affordable housing units, and administer programs that address the ongoing homelessness crisis in our city. Tracy will now walk you through the details of the budget.
Thank you and good morning.
We kept our mission in mind while developing our 2019 budget and will be concentrating our efforts in three major areas: rental assistance, creating and preserving affordable housing, and addressing homelessness. We continue to provide rental assistance for more than 15,400 families. We also are continuing the expanded Choice Communities Move to Work initiative to update and raise payment standards in areas where rental costs are typically higher. This provides households more flexibility in choosing where they wish to live. The Choice Communities initiative helps households relocate to neighborhoods with more opportunities for transportation, schools, and employment. Our budget includes further raising payment standards based upon anticipated savings from our Path to Success initiative. We are also investing Move to Work funds to support the Housing Commission Moving Home Rapid Rehousing Program to assist families. To create and preserve affordable housing, we committed more than $34 million to acquire affordable housing and rehabilitate Housing Commission-owned affordable housing. We will also award development funds to create 195 affordable rental housing units and will help 39 families to become first-time home buyers. This budget also supports the continuation of the current phase of our homelessness action plan, Housing First San Diego, which will create permanent housing opportunities for 3,000 homeless individuals and families over three fiscal years through the programs listed on this slide. The Housing Commission also administers the City of San Diego Homeless Shelters and Service Programs, including two new programs that recently launched, the three temporary bridge shelters that provide beds and services for up to 674 individuals, and the new transitional storage center that will provide up to 500 storage bins beginning in June. Now let's talk about our sources of funds for fiscal year 2019. This slide summarizes the total funding sources for fiscal year 2019 compared to 2018. Funding decreased by $47 million, primarily due to the use of funds in 2018 to fulfill commitments to purchase affordable housing properties, extend loans to developers, rehabilitate our own properties, and launch the city's temporary bridge shelters. This slide compares the total funding sources available in fiscal year 2019 compared to 2018. Note that the new revenue only decreased by 5%. This pie graph of our new revenue for fiscal year 2019 shows that more than 81% of our new revenue is from federal funding. Now we will discuss the uses of funds. This is a summary of total uses in fiscal year 2019, which reflects a decrease of 7%, or $26 million, primarily due to reduction in capital expenditures, loans to developers, as well as grant expenses. These are offset by increases due to the launch of the three temporary bridge shelters, the city's new transitional storage center, and housing assistance payments related to the expanded Choice Communities initiative. This is a year-over-year comparison of funding uses by major category. Note the decrease of 7%. This chart depicts total funding uses not including reserves by major division. The majority of the funding uses in fiscal year 2019, 53%, are in the Rental Assistance Division, shown on the blue area on the pie chart. Now, Jeff will go over staffing and homelessness program expenditures.
So our staffing needs for FY 2019 remain consistent with the staffing needs of FY 18. As the city has turned to the Housing Commission to help address homelessness in recent years, our expenditures for homelessness programs have steadily and significantly increased. This chart illustrates for you the significant and growing investment the Housing Commission has made toward addressing homelessness over the last 5 years. These programs in particular require more personnel than other programs because of the population they serve and the direct one-on-one interactions that are necessary with families, landlords, and service providers. This is among the reasons why our staffing needs remain consistent with last year, even though the budget reflects a decrease in overall sources and uses of funds. The fiscal year 2019 budget will support our homelessness programs as well as our administration of the city's programs. Our expected expenditures by the major programs in fiscal year 2019 will total close to $85 million. When they approved the city's temporary bridge shelters last November, the City Council required approval from the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego for any extensions of operation beyond June 30th, 2018. This budget includes funding for the extended shelter operations if approved by the Housing Authority. The operation of the new Transitional Storage Center at 116 South 20th Street is subject to the Housing Authority's evaluation of the program and decision about whether to continue it or end it during the Housing Commission's budget approval process for fiscal years 2019 and 2020. Our fiscal year 2019 budget anticipates expending cost savings from the temporary bridge shelters to fund the operations for this transitional storage center in FY19. Next month at the board meeting on May 4th, we will be asking for your approval of this fiscal year 2019 budget in the amount of $386 million. And this concludes our presentation. Tracy and I, along with staff behind us, are available to answer any questions.
Thank you. No action is being requested of us today, commissioners. Let me just start off and ask, again, kind of the drumbeat I've been hitting on lately has been that there's a lot of second guessing of how we're spending our money. There's a lot of questions about whether we're spending it in the right buckets or not. How much have we, I know this is the first time we look at this, but how much are we out socializing this with the community? Have we? Or what plans might we have before this comes back for final approval from this board?
Are we talking about the budget itself, socializing
yes.
the budget? At this point, we haven't socialized it. We want to bring it to the board first. That's why we bring it to you as a workshop to get, you know, the budget is based on the feedback we've received from the board throughout the year. However, we want to bring it to you a month before it comes to you for approval for any feedback. Once we have approval from the board, then we begin socializing it throughout the city.
Okay. I just think that there's an increased interest, not only by the media, but by folks sitting at 202 C Street that have an interest in whether we're spending enough money on affordable housing, whether we're spending too much money on homelessness. I think it's important that we get as much feedback about this as possible so that it's not look like we are unilaterally making a decision on this thing on our own without feedback from the other interested parties. Commissioners? Ms. Benvenuto?
Thanks. Thank you. I just had a quick question. When we were approving the temporary bridge structures and discussing some of the other responses to the homeless crisis, and obviously we have to give a lot of credit to staff and leadership for being so nimble with dealing and responding to that. There was talk, though, of reimbursement from city funds if possible. Are we pursuing that, or what's the status of those discussions?
Good question.
Yes, we are very much pursuing it. In fact, Debbie and Ted just had conversations with David Graham yesterday afternoon, and it wasn't the first time they've had conversations.
Yes, the city is talking to us. We actually sat down and identified which transactions they're going to contribute to. Nothing is in writing. As I understand it, they're also not putting it into their budget yet, but there is the intent.
and the expectation that they're going to participate in at least two upcoming transactions for permanent supportive housing.
Please.
There is a chance of additional funds being injected to your programming via some local ballot initiatives and then ideas like SB3. Are you planning at all for those in a hypothetical, or is that sort of a maybe don't count your chickens before they hatch or whatever that saying is?
Well, we're not actively planning for that money until it's here. But what we have done and are doing on a very informal basis is providing advice and input back to the proponents of those measures on what the effect of the extra resources would have. As public officials who may well wind up administering all or part of that money, we cannot advocate. But we can describe the problem. We can also describe remedies and describe, in a very broad, rough sense, what the money would translate to in terms of end results.
Thank you. To the chair's point, with the increased attention being paid to how these funds are being spent and used, I would just want to make sure that folks feel very confident and comfortable, which they should, in my opinion, with going out and pursuing those other funds. I know we aren't advocating for, but the community groups statewide that are looking to increase funding for homelessness and for affordable housing.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions? I'd highly encourage us to share this presentation with the council offices, the mayor's office, before we come back. This comes back to us next month. Any further discussion? All right, Ms. McDermott, Mr. Davis, thank you very much. Let's move on. And with that, any other order of business, commissioners? That covers the items that are on the agenda for today. If there is no other discussion on or any other thoughts that you wish to bring before us, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for being here today.